Welcome, listener, to a deep dive into the real engine behind so much of today's AI talk: large language model transformer architecture.
Yeah, our goal today is really to unpack how these systems actually process language. You know, what makes them tick, and maybe get a glimpse of what's coming next. Should be fascinating.
Okay, let's jump right in. We hear transformer constantly. What is this architecture? What does it define?
Right. So fundamentally, the transformer is a specific type of neural network design. It really burst onto the scene back in 2017, thanks to Google researchers.
And it changed things, right? Before that, it was different.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Before transformers, models like RNNs, LSTMs, they processed text word by word, sequentially. Think reading a sentence one word at a time.
Which sounds logical, but I guess slow and maybe forgetful.
Exactly. They really struggled with longer pieces of text. They'd sort of lose track at the beginning by the time they got to the end. The transformer architecture enabled massive parallel processing, looking at lots of words at once.
Ah, okay.
And that became the core for, you know, the big names you hear about: GPT-3, GPT-4 for generating text, and BERT for understanding text. It lets them grasp context much, much better.
That makes sense. A big leap. So we know what it is now. Let's pull back the curtain a bit. How does it actually work inside? What are the mechanics?
Okay, it starts with getting the text ready. Two key steps: tokenization and embedding. Basically, you break the text down into smaller pieces. Tokens could be words, could be parts of words.
Right.
Then each token gets turned into a string of numbers, a vector.
Yeah.
That's the embedding. It represents the token's meaning numerically.
Numbers for words. Okay. But language isn't just words, it's order.
Precisely. And that's where positional encoding comes in. It's extra information added to those number vectors that tells the model where each word actually sits in the sentence. Crucial for understanding sequence.
Got it. So tokenizing, embedding the meaning, adding position. But the real breakthrough, the secret sauce, was this attention mechanism.
Absolutely. That's the heart of it. Attention lets every single word or token look at every other token in the input sequence simultaneously.
Simultaneously, not one by one.
Exactly. It weighs how relevant each other word is to understanding that specific word. Think about the word bank.
Oh, okay.
In bank of the river, the word river tells you it's about land. In bank loan, the word loan tells you it's financial. Attention figures that out by looking at the context words.
Ah, I see. That context is key. It solves that problem the older models had with long sentences.
It really did. Understanding those long-range dependencies, words far apart influencing each other, that was the game changer.
And I read about multi-head attention. Is that just doing the same thing multiple times?
Sort of, but in parallel and from different perspectives. Imagine having, say, 8 attention heads looking at the sentence at the same time. Each one might focus on a different kind of relationship. Maybe one looks at grammar, another at meaning, another at sentence structure.
Okay, so a richer understanding.
A much richer, more nuanced understanding. And then there's mask attention, which is mainly for generating text. It cleverly stops the model from cheating by looking ahead at the words it hasn't written yet.
Right, keeps it sequential when it needs to be.
Exactly. It builds the output step by step, only considering what came before.
Fascinating stuff. So with all this complex machinery inside, where are we actually seeing the impact? What are the real world uses?
Well, the most obvious improvements have been in natural language processing, NLP tasks. Machine translation is a big one. Translations are much more fluent now, less clunky.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And text summarization, taking huge amounts of text and boiling it down to the key points. Incredibly useful with information overload today.
Definitely. Is it just limited to text, though? Or is this architecture more flexible?
That's what's really exciting. It's proving incredibly versatile. It's been adapted for images with vision transformers or VITs. They're achieving state-of-the-art results in image recognition, sometimes even better than older methods.
Wow, images too.
Yep. And it's being used in audio processing as well. It suggests the core ideas, attention, parallel processing are quite fundamental.
Incredible reach. Okay, so looking forward then, what's next? What's on the horizon for transformers?
A huge area of focus is scalability and efficiency. How do we make these models handle even longer inputs? Think entire books, massive data sets, years of meeting transcripts.
Without needing, you know, a supercomputer for every query.
Exactly. Making them more efficient computationally is key. Processing a whole novel in one go, truly understanding it. That's a major goal.
That would be something.
But alongside that power comes responsibility. We also face really significant ethical and interpretability challenges. Like, how do we prevent biases learned from the training data creeping into decisions?
You mean like in hiring tools or something?
Precisely. Ensuring fairness and understanding why a model makes a certain decision is becoming critically important as they get more powerful and integrated into our lives.
A really important point. Wow, what a journey into the core of modern AI. We've seen how these clever components like self-attention really give these models their power with language.
Yeah, and understanding this architecture, it isn't just for techies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It helps everyone grasp how AI is evolving and how it might change, well, everything from business to daily routines. It makes you think, what capability stands out most to you, and how do you see yourself interacting with these ever smarter systems down the road?
A lot to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.